Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting and, let's be honest, melting edition of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Filippo Dinolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Belogi. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Yo.
Hello.
Yeah, so if you're living up in the Northeast and you're listening to this right now, well, you probably are a puddle on the ground by now, so I would recommend seek water.
Yes.
But yeah, seriously, it's going to get into the triple digits this weekend up in and around New York and Toronto in particular. Holy shit, it is going to – I think Toronto might straight up just turn into steam.
It's going to evaporate right out the lake.
But yeah, and of course, folks who are here down south are going like, ah, pussies.
High of 101, that's nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, it got up to 98 here today.
Damn. So. It was supposed to be 100 here, but it never topped 95. But the heat index last time I looked was 108.
Yeah. The thing here down south is that when it does get that hot, the weather usually comes in. And I'm going to, you know, and just decides to dump some rain on it.
Yep. It's going to come and F us up again tomorrow. It F'd us up before it got here yesterday. It's going to F us up after it moves off tomorrow night.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so this episode is going to be for July 19th, 2019. And this week, in something that happens hasn't happened in a while, our asshole of the week is President Donald Trump, who somehow managed to attack someone and then they then became more powerful than he could possibly have ever imagined.
Yeah, well, act like Vader. You're going to win those kind of prizes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it basically made me a fan of the squad. I mean, I was already kind of a fan of the squad, but now I'm definitely a fan of the squad. Can we just cut the country into fours and let them become the eternal dictators of each quadrant?
Maybe.
I could be into that.
Can we get somebody on that? I'd be okay with that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so other than that, if you're an anime fan, something happened this week that definitely got into your news cycle. We'll be talking about that. And of course there's some other shit that happened. We got some sports news as well. And we got a bunch of entertainment stuff, including probably the most revered and beloved writer in the comic book world has officially announced his retirement from the medium.
Hmm.
And again, this is the person we're talking about, you know, that's to be seen.
Is this someone who's tried to retire before?
He has a very love-hate relationship with the medium. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
And of course we got some science news. And of course we got a bunch of shit that shows that there really are no more original ideas in Hollywood or entertainment to begin with. And also a certain Broadway show now has a actual movie adaptation and it'll probably haunt your nightmares for the next couple weeks. We'll tell
you. That's a hard no.
Yeah. We'll tell you all about
that. The hardest of passes.
Yeah, we'll tell you all about that and more on this episode of Brandon's Random Factoid. But before we do anything else, we've got to start off as we always do. So, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
So, I was listening to Age of Legends, as I mentioned last week, and I accidentally finished it.
Accidentally? Was that good, huh?
I think it's called binging.
No, I mean accidentally in that it ended and I wasn't actually ready for it to end because it, you know, like how some authors will end on a cliffhanger where you've got like one like major little event that's not really resolved.
Yeah.
Well, how about when you end the book where absolutely nothing in the plot is resolved?
Wow.
So basically, like, all of the main protagonists are pretty much fucked, and that's where he ended it. I just pinged him on Goodreads, and I just basically said, where's the rest of the book? because it really ended that badly. I mean, I enjoyed my time with it, but it's like, you might want to consider writing the rest of the book. And he will, but next I have to wait until next year to hear that, because there's another two books in the series, apparently. It was supposed to be a 5-book. Well, first it was supposed to be a 3-book series, and then it turned into a 5-book series, and now it's a 6-book series.
Wow.
So, figure that one out. So at least now that I got that cleared out, I'm going to start on the new Dennis E. Taylor book. So, that should be fun. The Yellowstone volcano explodes, so that's going to be an interesting premise.
I actually have read somewhere that it, despite what that premise says, probably there's like a good 6-to-1 chance that's probably never going to happen.
No, it
simply because it doesn't have the minerals that are required for something like that to actually explode that degree, just isn't in there.
Yeah. But, you know, this is sci-fi, so he's just kind of proposing, well, what if it did? So, it's going to be an interesting kind of a post-apocalyptic novel. And given that it's Dennis E. Taylor, it will probably be highly entertaining. As Teresa has discovered, his writing is incredibly witty.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to getting into that. Apart from that, still playing Bloodstained. Finally got past all the areas that I was, stuck at. So now I'm just going through and getting all the items I need to get a good ending. So there. And there was a Kickstarter update today, which basically amounted to, hey, we're going to nerf all of the good things in the game. Yeah, that went over real well, as you can imagine. So hopefully they're still willing to take criticism from their community, because that's pretty much the only thing they're getting right now. It's like, why would you want to nerf an endgame weapon? I mean, the entire point of endgame weapons is to give you something fun to have when you start New Game Plus. So, so hopefully they'll, take the hint and not go through with those changes, because one thing the Bloodstain doesn't need is to be made harder. It's already challenging enough. So,
seriously.
Yeah. So that's been pretty much it. How about you, Pat?
I am laying the groundwork for a DIY project I've had in the back of my mind for quite a while. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if you've seen those Versus City arcade cabinets where you put a fighting game in it, and instead of sitting side by side, players instead sit head to head, like it has two displays and, just one set of controls per display.
Yeah, seen that.
I'm going to try and make a sort of tabletop version of that, either using a Raspberry Pi or maybe even a console, depending on how this all shakes out. And I do have the two monitors for it now, so got them for pretty cheap, payroll deducted from work because they were offloading a bunch of their old computer equipment. And so I don't know exactly how this is going to take shape, but I'm really hoping to put together sort of a semi-portable countertop Versus City in the coming months.
So, hey, woodworking. Hey.
Yeah.
That's going to be an adventure.
It's a thing. Yeah.
Yes.
But, no, that's what I'm looking at.
All right.
All right. Teresa, what about you?
I have been doing the exact same thing as last week, just more of it. I've been kind of slowing down on Stardew Valley a little bit, playing a lot more Final Fantasy XIV. So I think I'm going to main Dancer now instead of Summoner and see how that goes. So far, I like it pretty well.
To be taking to it pretty well.
It's kind of reminds me of a rhythm game. It's like, okay, this button lights up, press that combo. It's got a little bit of that there. Sometimes the damage that I'm doing, I feel like I'm a little bit OP, but I'm not going to complain too much. And then Good Omens, we've been slow burning through that. We have the very last episode left, and we will probably kill that this weekend. Absolutely love it. I just recommend anybody watching it. I don't think there's anybody who wouldn't like it. It's kind of a universal type of miniseries. And we're still rolling through Babaverse, and we will probably roll through a little bit more because we have a very short road trip tomorrow. So we'll queue that up and probably kill the second book and maybe start the third book. Well, yeah, it's pretty much it. It's the same stuff as last week, just getting through more of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Chris, what about you?
I've been experiencing the heat death of the earth today.
Yeah.
I was out for most of
the sun
of the day.
Can go fuck itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... the only bright side is early on it was pretty cloudy, which meant the humidity was through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
To keep you nice and hot. And at certain points early on, I felt like I had been stuck in a rain shower, even though it had not rained.
Yep.
So I just wanted to, like, just go, you know, sit down in a shower and just turn it on. Just sit. fortunately, couldn't do that. Yeah, I got up into the mid-90s here, like around 110 with the heat index.
Yeah.
Luckily, I had plenty of stuff to drink to at least keep me hydrated. But otherwise, it was not fun. I felt like when you're, like, grilling hot dogs and you're letting the skin crisp up. Like, that's what my skin felt like.
Yeah.
Like, oh, God. Everything's hot. Yeah.
Everything.
It's. Yeah. And, yeah, that was just unpleasant.
It's the week of nobody wants to cook indoors because it's just fuck everything about that.
Yeah, you just put the food outside in the sun and it'll cook.
Take care of itself.
Just put it on a nice pan. It'll heat up. And it'll probably be okay in a few hours.
yep.
Yeah, I've been doing some streaming this week. Played some Detroit Become Human. Had that be two of the streams, Sunday and Tuesday, or Wednesdays. Which, yeah, I finally got back to the point where I was before and got to the next section after that. And I like that game a good bit. Definitely looking forward to trying to finish it. Might end up just doing like a little video series on our YouTube channel of me finishing that. And yeah, that was definitely quite good. Also streamed yesterday A Robot Named Fight, which is essentially what would happen if you took Super Metroid, added a little bit of Doom style to it, and made it a roguelike, which is pretty cool. It's $2 on the Switch eShop right now on Steam on sale, and it's really well done. And it has a lot of like special weapons and such that you unlock. And sort of as you do things, you accomplish like little achievements in the game, it'll unlock new stuff for you. So I had like a flamethrower, which as you did the like the spin jump, like the flames would spin too in a really cool way. What else I got? I got a rocket launcher, a bunch of other stuff that's just... I even got like a little drone dude that would essentially eat the gubbins, the jibs that enemies would drop. And once he got enough of them, he would create like a little energy thing to refill your bar, sort of stuff. He has a lot of cool stuff there. Yeah, that's a fun game. People should definitely check out if they like Super Metroid. It also has the wall jumping, which I'm terrible at in Super Metroid. So there's some areas where I had some trouble trying to get vertical. But then I got some boots that actually gives you like a really high jump, so... there's some good stuff about that, and I'm looking at streaming tomorrow Kerbal Space Program in celebration of the moon. Tomorrow will be the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, and I want to see if we can get to the moon.
Ah.
Which is spelled M-U-N.
Yeah.
In that game, because it's not the Earth's moon. It's
yeah.
The Kerbal moon. And see how many people we can get there. Without killing everybody.
Oh, there are, many of them will die. Trust me.
Oh yeah, they're cheap enough. They know the risks. What else? I think I'm gonna stream some Splatoon 2 on Sunday because that is the last day of the Splatfest. Definitely want to do some of that. And yeah, I'm trying out a new like streaming app called Streamlabs OBS. Mm-hmm. So it's like a splinter of OBS that just feeds into the Streamlabs kind of like streaming service, I guess, network kind of thing. Which initially, the first time, I could not get the audio to go through to my headset. So I ended up just stopping using that and just go back to regular OBS because I know that works. But I finally got that figured out. And the nice thing there is it has themes you can use. So, like, I'll have a nice fancy thing that is like, hey, we'll be starting soon sort of thing. Or if I need to go to the bathroom, I can put up a little banner that says, you know, we'll be right back sort of thing. Hmm. That sort of stuff.
Darn, it has a bunch of fun features. Could have used that.
Yeah. There's some stuff that's paid that has, like, apps that you can pay for, and, like, I'm not going to pay for it, that stuff. But there's plenty of free themes, and I'm trying to get some good ones that are kind of purple like our logo and all that. Mm. Maybe try and see if we can get some stuff that I can sort of put our logo on so we can have it be more a little bit more personalized versions of this stuff. But for now, it's working out pretty well. And, yeah. They have, like, animated stuff, too, which I'm not interested in, really. Hmm. Especially because that's a lot of, like, the paid versions. So you get the static one for free and the paid's the animated one's paid. But, yeah, kind of trying out this new thing and seeing how it goes. Hmm. And I've been playing some Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu I got on sale for $35. Mm-hmm. So I've been playing that, and it's pretty cool. It's just very weird to play what is very clearly like the Game Boy game with Pokemon Go's like throwing for catching Pokemon. You don't battle them to catch them, which is just pretty weird for me. But otherwise, it's a really fun game. It's based on Yellow. So you have either Pikachu or Eevee, depending on which version you got, that kind of hangs out with you. But you also get, like, clothes you unlock. So I have a version of the outfit that my trainer is wearing, that Pikachu is wearing. And, yeah, kind of just going through. I've beaten two of the gyms, Brock and Misty's gyms so far, and working on some of the other stuff in there. And, yeah, that's been pretty fun. Also been playing some more Pokemon Go, which Teresa keeps sending me gifts on that.
Yep.
Like actual nice places, and I'm sending her cemeteries.
No, it's kind of fun to look at.
Yeah, it's like the cemetery, and there's like a little hall they have across it that they do some events at. Stuff like Fireman's Pancake Breakfast, stuff like that. Coin shows, weird stuff like that.
So, like, that's if I mean, because there's a badge. There's several badges you get for trading long distance Pokemon. So I get an egg from you from the gift. I hatch it, and then I trade it with, you know, Scott. He got something when he was on vacation, or not vacation, on work in Texas. And that's a lot of kilometers.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been getting some eggs too, which I finally figured out a few weeks ago, like, where they were at. Because I did not realize.
Oh, yeah, you have to swipe over from.
Because I kept thinking they were items, so I kept looking in the items, and it's like,
no,
they're not there. What the fuck?
And you can't get rid of them. Like, you have to hatch them. Once you have them, they stay in your inventory until you hatch them.
And then I had a weird bit where somehow Adventure Sync got turned off. So I was like, why the fuck am I not getting any mileage on this, anything I'm doing here?
Yeah, there was just an update. Yeah, there was an update that turned it off. Same thing happened with us. It was a pain in the butt.
Yeah,
no armor view, huh?
No.
Yeah, you'd have to get together with like 12 people to raid that, and I missed it yesterday by like 2 minutes. I'm so pissed off. Race there in the heat, and I missed being able to battle and get armored Mew.
Do they still have the Pikachu with Luffy's hat?
No, I don't think so.
I saw the pictures of that, and I was like, that'd be cool to get.
Yeah.
They had like a weird crossover with One Piece where he had a Monkey D. Luffy's hat on.
Oh, wait, no, that hasn't come out yet.
Okay.
Yeah, that's coming. Good. Yeah.
I was like hoping I didn't miss that, because I'll get Pikachu with any dumb fucking hat I can. that's always nice to have. But yeah, that's been all right. I have some stupid. I almost fucked up one quest thing. It was like they give you a Dragonite, I think. And they want you to take a picture with him.
Yeah.
I forgot to take the picture before I evolved him.
Oh, did it?
But I think I got one of your. I think I got out of one of your eggs.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I eventually got that. I was like, "Oh shit! Now I can finally do that."
I waited and took the picture of him when I was at that lighthouse in the fuck state was I in? Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yeah. The One Piece thing starts on Monday, probably 3 p.m. your time.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'll check it out eventually. And kind of just doing stupid stuff in that. Like, I have too many items there. I have to, like, delete potions. Because I have too many of them. Because I don't go reading or anything that much.
Well, so you can really go to you can go to gyms and heal up Pokemon, and it will increase your reputation in the gym, and eventually you'll gold it, and that helps.
Okay. But yeah, I have been unable to use some of the gifts because I was like, oh, you have too many items. Like, fuck, mm-hmm. I have like 90. I probably have at least like 150 potions of the three different types.
Oh my god.
I had like 90 of the one for 200. It's like, I'll just take about 20 off of this. Because it's not. And I think the one gift you gave me had a few more in them. I was like, all right, replenishing it. yeah. I think I sent one of you, it's like a baseball fields that are near here, which I had to get while I was driving by. I didn't stop by. It's just like, occasionally I go by, it's like, I'll just hold the phone, like swipe it as I drive slowly by.
Yep.
Because it's like, I'm not going to pull in here and be the weirdo when there's nobody else there.
Just don't get caught.
It's only like that's the only place I ever do it because it's like just a weird spot to have it in. But yeah, that's been pretty all right. Yeah, that's been kind of it. I'm trying to make finish up a new Super Mario Maker level. It's based off of MXC Sinkers and Floaters. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Essentially, I have it's a dungeon level, so it's got lava under donut blocks. So essentially, and I put wings on them, so they're floating up and down, moving around a bit. So you kind of have to not run the entire way. Then I have some of the lava bubbles kind of spook. Jumping out at times, so it's going to be a real annoying level, but it's going to be a fun one, I think, as people try and get through it. But I think I just made it shorter because it's a little bit too long. But yeah, that's been kind of it. How about you, Brandon?
All right, well, since I've basically 100%ed Bloodstained, my primary gaming for this week has been I've went back and I've started playing The Witness again. And I forgot how mind-numbingly complicated some of the puzzles in that game can be.
Which ones are you talking about?
Well, right now I'm in the quarry. Well, I finished part of the quarry. Now I'm over on the logging part. Or I think it's the logging part. I think it's the dock that goes out into the water. And, like, there's the area where you can get a boat.
Okay. There's like it's like that whole like docking area.
Yeah, and it's
shape
the
kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's the ones that have like the Triskelion symbol on them. That
yeah,
basically,
there's like a lot of secret stuff there.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not discouraged me or anything because that game is very enjoyable, and because of the nature of it, I mean, you can basically. Just because it's basically like completely open world, you can basically just like go to one area and decide like, look, I need to go and get away from this because I'm about to break the TV. You can just go off to another area and start off another series of puzzles. And some way midway, you're like, oh, that's what I was supposed to do. And then you can go back and finish those. So it's that kind of game. Also, I found out that much like his last game, there actually is a plot to The Witness, but it's like really esoteric in the way it tells it, and apparently there's like something you have to do to get like what they call the true like actual ending.
Yeah, it was like a final series of challenges, I think.
Yeah, and I have my idea of what it is. But I'll have to see it myself to confirm it. But, yeah, that game is just... Oh, it's a lot of it's very fun, you know, for how frustrating it can be sometimes. It's also very relaxing. And it's very, I don't know why, if it's just because of the way that my brain has adapted to video games, but despite how completely bright and colorful everything is in that game, because it's so completely, like almost completely silent, I'm expecting some kind of jump scare at some point, and I don't know why. You know, because, like, I mean, I'll admit that there are things here and there, like those really realistic statues that people carved out that are kind of creepy. I'll admit, because of how lifelike they look, but that's the extent of it. It's pretty much just you and the island, and that's it. So, pretty much other than that, I'm just anticipating Fire Emblem, which comes out next week, Friday, the 26th.
Yes.
Got it pre-ordered and everything.
Hopefully, I have enough paycheck for
Yeah. Hopefully, I've got enough GameStop points to get it. But yeah, it's definitely anticipating it. I've been loving what they've been showing off as this game has, as the release date has gotten closer. I am absolutely convinced that this game is probably going to break my heart at some point because, I mean, you guys know what the essential conceit of this game is, right? Like, you're a teacher
Yeah.
at this school for knights, and then there's a time skip, and then for some reason, all the kingdoms are at war with each other, and most of the people fighting are people you taught at that school. Yeah.
Sounds like a bad time.
Yeah. Damn, it looks good, too. So other than that, I've basically been doing the usual, which is, of course, reading a lot. I recently started reading The Child Cycle by Gordon R. Dixon, which is a it's considered to be sort of like one of the first military sci-fi series that ever started. Like, okay, so like Robert Heinlein, he published Starship Troopers, I think it was 1950. And the first book of The Child Cycle came out in 1951. But basically, it's about this cataclysm happens on Earth that causes humanity to spread out among the stars, and because they're all so wild in like such wildly different atmospheres and conditions they all have to live in, they basically spread off into basically three different human subspecies. There's the Dorsai, which are the if you've ever been to like a sci-fi convention and you've heard that term, you know, you've probably heard of the Dorsai Irregulars. They're like the volunteer security force at places like Worldcon. But the Dorsai are basically like a group of like, they're basically the beta version of the Mandalorians there. And they basically get hired out as like mercenaries and stuff. There's the philosophers who are basically, well, just like that. They're basically pacifists by their own philosophy, and so they take time, you know, on arts, music, and literature, including compiling this gigantic encyclopedia that becomes the subject of one of the books in the series. And the last group is called the Friendlies, and they're basically religious fanatics, basically, of varying degrees. If you guys ever heard of the Roundheads, like from like the English Civil War, they were the guys
No.
that they were the guys that Cromwell was part of.
Oh.
Yeah, they were called Roundheads because, you know, they wore the round helmets. Well, basically, that's who the Friendlies are, but in space. Yeah, and it goes
Okay.
about as well as you can think. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Basically, other than that, just trying not to melt.
Yeah.
Fortunately, it's supposed to start cooling off next week down here. So, and then of course, we go into August. week after next, and hey, ain't no telling what's going to happen then.
I think we can take some pretty educated guesses.
Yeah.
We're going to melt again. Yeah.
But, yeah, that's pretty much what I've been doing this week. So has anybody got anything else they want to add before we move on? No?
No.
Okay. Well, then, it's now time for everybody's
favorite. I did just pull down 3.5 million from my retainers on Gilgamesh server, so I guess that's something.
Well, hookers and cocaine for everybody then, I guess. Yeah, it's now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And yep, we got a big major anniversary coming up, either today or tomorrow, depending on, you know, what time zone you're in. But today or tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of the Apollo moon landing. So we've all seen the footage. Y'all learned about it when we were in school. It was basically kickstarted by President John F. Kennedy after word had gotten around that the Soviets had launched a satellite into space and then further had sent the first person into space. That was Yuri Gagarin. And so NASA got the idea to, you know, get their rockets together, and they got individuals like Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin to man the flight. And it took them there, and they were the first people to set foot on the moon. And there was cameras there, and they recorded everything they said. And it's pretty neat stuff. Like, to this day, it's still really neat stuff to watch, to look at. But that's not really what I'm going to talk about this week, because, let's be honest, everybody already knows that shit. They know about how the moon landing happened. You learned that crap in school. So instead, I'm going to talk about the fact that 50 years later, for reasons that still boggle my mind, there are still people out there, a very small, very persistent, and very loud group of people who still claim that the moon landing never happened. Yes.
Uh-huh. Can we push them right off the side of the flat earth with the rest of the people?
Would you be surprised to find out that those two groups overlap?
No, I am shocked. Dying of shock.
Nope, they overlap more than you would think. Okay, so basically this whole idea kind of entered into the popular subconscious way back in 1976 because of this guy named Bill Kaysing. He published a book called We Never Went to the Moon, America's $30 Billion Swindle. And he basically put forth a lot of the quote-unquote arguments that have sort of been the main, like, you know, what the moon hoaxer people use, even though they've been debunked so often. Yeah. So basically, here's the thing, though. There's not just one kind of, like, lunar conspiracy nut job. There's, like, six or seven. So, like we said, like Teresa said earlier, yeah, there's the flat earther people who say it couldn't happen because, according to them, space travel is impossible. And usually they say that the whole thing was staged by some Hollywood studio because, you know, leave it to a flat earther to be somehow able to completely fail to grasp actual rocket science. But then, of course, there are the you guys ever heard of something called Hindutva? If you have any friends who are like from India, they probably know that term. It's a Hindu fundamentalist, basically.
Oh,
yeah. You know, the BJP, the current ruling party of India. Yeah, they're a Hindutva party. Well, they have a Hindutva faction inside of it. And not only that, but there are also a few members of the Hare Krishna movement who are hardcore anti-moon denialists. And the reason is because if they accepted the fact that the moon happened, it would actually contradict some of their own holy text. Because according to them, the moon is further away than the sun, is surrounded by fire and ice, and is the source of all planetary vegetation. So
that makes no sense. Oh my god.
This is why we can't have nice things.
There are also people who say that the moon never went because nothing orbits anything. Everything in space is just stationary. There are also people that believe that we did orbit the Earth but never went out further because they believe that everything further than that is basically a deadly laser. I make fun there, but mostly they think everything further than that is incredibly radioactive. Now, it is true that if you go out in space, radiation is one of the dangers that you have to be careful of, but it's not quite that bad. Then there are those who believe that, no, we didn't actually land on the moon then, but we did land the other few times. For those who don't know, between 1969 and 1972, there were, I think, like 6 different lunar landing missions. And these guys believe that the first one didn't happen, but the other 5 did. Then there are those who say that, they went to the moon, and they went to the unmanned probes, and they even went to the rest of the solar system. But they had to either hide, destroy, or doctor all of the photographs, because that would mean that would expose the world to, take a wild guess.
Aliens.
The aliens. Those are always the fun people.
Aren't they? So which ones are the Because Jesus sect?
Well, we haven't gotten to that yet. There's also a new group of people that started up in 2012 who believe that, yes, we went to the moon, but we didn't invent the technology. But the technology was, in fact, invented by a scientist in Yugoslavia and then was sold to the United States government by Joseph Broz Tito. Thing is, though, this, in fact, turned out to be a bit of viral marketing for a mockumentary film that was coming out, and too many people took it seriously.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. And as for, like, the creationist people that you're talking about, believe it or not, they actually do not count here, because they can believe some crazy shit like the Earth is only 5,000 some years old, but they're perfectly okay with the idea that we landed on the moon, because that means America.
Yeah, that's what it usually boils down to, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Just because America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, amongst other things, you probably – some of the arguments that people use. So probably the first one you'll probably hear about when you come in contact with one of these people is, okay, so they'll show you the photographs and they'll show you, isn't there something missing in this picture? Look in the background. If they're out in space, where are all the stars? There's actually a very good reason for that. You ever been out in day and been able to see the stars in the sky? That's because the moon has a day-night cycle as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't want to be on the night side of the moon of that really cycle, because you would freeze into a human popsicle. And also, like a day cycle, you can't see the stars on the moon either.
Hmm.
You know, the reason our sky is blue is because of, you know, the atmosphere and the ozone layer. There are none of those things on the moon, so it's just black. So that's one, and that's like one of the most obvious ones that'll get you. The other is something called the Sea Rock. There's this one photograph that was taken when they were up there where it shows a moon rock on it. And they claim that if you look at the rock, you'll see that somebody has written the letter C on it. And they say this is supposed to be like a label for a prop piece, because, again, this was supposed to have been filmed in a studio somewhere. But if you know anything about, well, anything, it's pretty obvious it's just a fiber on somebody's scanner glass.
Hmm.
Also, you guys have heard of the word pareidolia.
Hmm. Yeah.
Like it's the phenomenon that you see where you like look up in the clouds and you'll see like a spaceship or a person or something that looks like something.
Yeah.
It's that. Then they'll also say they'll have that picture of I guess it's Buzz Aldrin. Mm-hmm. And if you look into the reflection of Buzz Aldrin, you can see who? You can see Neil Armstrong, right?
Right.
But the thing is, if you look and you're like, wait, he's not holding a camera. How could he have taken this picture if he had wasn't holding a camera? Just real clear, I'm going to show you right now how they were able to do that. It's really easy and it's really stupid, and it just goes to show you how much dumbasses these people actually are. All right, here you go. That's how they did it. It was on their chest, you dumbasses.
Yeah.
Then, of course, there is the takeoff video. And that's because, you know, the camera tilts up to follow it, implying that someone was there operating the camera. For the record, both the rocket and the lunar rover, guess what they had attached to them?
Remote cameras.
TV camera. In fact, you know that image of, you know, of Armstrong coming down the stairs going, you know, it's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Hmm.
That was a camera that was attached to the lunar rover that he had that he had turned on by a cord that was attached to it.
Hmm.
So he was able to, you know, he was able to operate it.
Yeah.
Then, of course, there's the shadows. Because these idiots think, you know, if the sun is on one side and there's no other light source, then, you know, why are all the shadows going in different directions?
Hmm. Yeah. They forgot the one little problem with the moon being a giant reflective surface.
Yeah, exactly. And even if they wanted to, and you realize that considering this was what year? Like 1969. Mm-hmm. You realize the amount of lights they would have to buy to actually simulate that effect?
Yeah.
It would actually be cheaper for them to actually just go to the moon. And then, of course, there's the image bleed. So, for those of you who don't know, because of these old photographs they took, they have crosshairs on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's to help them position the thing and all that. And if you look really closely at certain parts, it looks like some of the objects in the photographs are actually going over parts of the crosshairs, like the crosshairs in the background.
Mm.
Which it makes people think, oh, well, it was Photoshopped or something. Thing is, though, if you look really careful, if you really carefully at all these areas where it happens, you'll notice something in common with all of them.
Hmm.
They're all usually a very bright white. And that is a very well-known phenomenon that happens in old cameras like that. You know, because it's so bright, it'll basically just whiten out that part of the crosshair.
Hmm.
You know, the crosshair is still there. It's just that
you can't see it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also happens on CRTs.
Yeah. And in fact, they've started putting out even higher quality scans of those photos, and the crosshairs are intact.
Yeah.
So, and finally, the one I'm going to leave on tonight is about the flags. So, as you all know, because this was Merca, and you'll notice all the flags are up there. And if you ever notice, the flags are either some of the footage, the flags are either stationary or they're kind of fluttering, like there's wind, you know.
Hmm.
And these are the guys like that, but they're out in on the moon. There's no atmosphere on the moon. There shouldn't be any wind.
Well, actually,
yeah. First of all, just so you know, the flags that they put up there, you may have noticed the very, like, top strip portion of those flags are completely stationary. That's because there's a rod through them.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't stupid. They knew if they tried to put that up there without that rod, it was basically going to just hang there.
Yeah.
And as for, like, the wind, yeah, the moon actually does have winds.
It does have, like, doesn't have a very, very, very small amount of no, it's not atmosphere, it's just fucking gravity. Never mind, ignore me.
Oh, she's right. Mm-hmm. You're kind of both right, because it does kind of have some wind, and that is partly due to the gravity.
Hmm.
Okay.
So yeah, in spite of all that, there are still people who think that the moon landing was a hoax.
Hmm.
Even though, comparing to what technology was back then, it would have actually just been cheaper for them to have just gone to the moon.
It's a good thing they did then.
Like, yeah, there's right? a reason why, like, Stanley Kubrick always gets roped into these types of conspiracy theories. Hmm. Because, if you remember, he did 2001 A Space Odyssey, mm-hmm. and, you know, the conspiracy goes, like, the government's like, yo, we need you to help us fake the moon landing. First of all, if that were the case, and you know Kubrick, it would have taken a decade for him to have gotten that shit out there.
Yeah. Little bit of a perfectionist there.
Yeah.
And second of all, even he would have been like, fuck it, you guys just need to go to the moon. And that has been yet another installment of Brandon's Random Factoid.
And let's not forget Michael Collins, because yes. he was there too.
Yes, he was. All right. Now, with that out of the way, it is now time to start the show proper. And as always, we have to start off with the asshole of the week. And our asshole of the week is none other than the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, who... has basically gone back to his 2016 campaign mode and is now openly using racism. Yep. And I know that's like, you're like, wait, now he's doing – he's been doing it up to this point for the last 3 years. It's just now he's much more brazen about it.
Hmm.
Yeah, so basically, he's full old man racist now.
Hmm. Yeah, so basically he went on Twitter and he attacked what people now call the squad. I wish they had, like, some theme music or something. but, yeah, it was Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and...
Presley.
Presley. And basically said, you know, they hate America. They hate what we are. They want to change things. They want to bring in socialism. They're anti-Semites. They hate the Jews. And they all come from countries that are basically shitholes that – well, he didn't use the word shithole, but that have all terrible government and infrastructure if they have them there anyway. And maybe they should consider going back to those countries. Three of the four people that we just mentioned are American-born citizens. The one who isn't is Representative Ilhan Omar, who was a refugee from Somalia, and she's been a citizen longer than Melania has.
Mm. Ooh.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just... And yeah, it was a whole shit show. The GOP completely defended him almost universally. And a bunch of people on the GOP side said lots of stupid shit. I think was Lindsey Graham said they were communists.
Yeah, socialist communists. He has to use the word communist now because socialist doesn't have the same sting that it used to have.
Yeah.
So he has to go one better.
Yeah, Trump went to defend himself, say you know he's not racist or that wasn't racist, and everybody else, GOP has obviously joined him.
Well, not quite everybody.
Pretty much.
Yeah, a handful have come out and said, no, this isn't cool. Even freaking Ben Shapiro, of all people.
Yeah,
and then again, that like might just him. Be a case of him protecting his waifu. So,
And it basically just descended into chaos as this took over the whole week, basically.
Yeah, basically made everybody forget about that whole Jeffrey Epstein thing.
Yeah, but that'll come back.
Oh, yeah. It'll come back. But...
There's a big vote in the House to
condemn him.
And four GOP votes supported it.
Yeah.
Which
also Justin Amash, who is technically an independent now. Yeah. But
And those four aren't really too upset about his tweets. They basically voted.
They're the quote unquote moderate Republicans.
They voted for like smug brownie points to be able to look down at other people. They're basically backing up what the GOP has said anyway.
Yeah.
Saying things like, one of them said basically, the Democrats need to, you know, condemn the squad's use of their language and their anti-Semitic stuff. And it's like,
First of all, fuck you, and second of all, there is no anti-Semitic stuff to answer for.
Israel isn't Judaism.
Yeah.
They're criticizing
Israel. There are members of the Jewish Knesset who openly support the BDS movement in Israel. So these people can go fuck themselves.
Yeah, it's their gaslighting, essentially. Lots of gaslighting going on with the right now.
So basically, the squad had their sort of own press conference where they basically tell them, "Look, guys, this is a distraction. We're gonna keep working hard, and we're not gonna let this try and derail what we've been working on."
Yeah. And there was Trump had a rally in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Where he managed to get the crowd to chant "Send her back."
Yeah.
Kept talking
specifically
about how,
referring to Miss Omar.
Yeah. They said she supports terrorism and all this other stupid shit that is not true.
Yeah.
Also, basically defended himself, saying, "Oh, he did not." He basically tried to keep talking and Shosham. It's like, no, there's a good 10-second pause where he just soaked it in.
Yeah. For the record, I'm pretty sure that he had some people planted in the audience to start that chant to begin with. So
yeah, for sure.
Wouldn't be surprising.
I mean, it's too specific for something to just happen randomly like that.
Yeah. And then I think he kept tweeting again, just keep doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on it. Basically saying, nobody in Minnesota likes Omar and all that stuff.
By the way, she actually went back to Minnesota today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there was a cheering crowd of 100-some people waiting for her. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, they were chanting welcome home or welcome back or something like that.
Welcome home, Eon Pillon, yeah.
Yeah, not send her back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's still very popular in her district.
Yeah.
All of them are actually still very popular in the district. AOC especially. Don't let people, because people keep trying to show these bullshit polls where they're showing she's obviously losing points. No, she's still as popular in her home district as she's ever been.
You know what those groups are? They're anti-AOC PACs.
Mm-hmm. Specifically started to derail her.
It's
because that's how terrified AOC of her they are.
Kind of thing. It's like, all right, you guys are just putting this all out here. Surprised you don't just make it a little bit harder to figure out what you're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
But, whatever. Make it easier for everybody to see what bullshit you're doing.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's been kind of the biggest piece of bullshit that's been going on all week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm looking at this, and it's it's not hard to draw comparisons between this and Hitler.
People have been making those comparisons since 2016.
But the one thing that
people started using terms like cosmopolitan, mm-hmm. all that sort of stuff that the Nazis used.
Yeah.
All right, you guys are just letting the veil drop.
Yeah, it works for words and phrases like you said, cosmopolitan, Lügenpresse. That's cultural Marxism, which is basically just an anglicized version of cultural Bolshevism that the Nazis used.
Yeah. There's other nicknames now, the four women of the four horsewomen of the apocalypse.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And basically, the squad is basically the NWO of the Congress right now.
NWO.
Except I don't hate them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you didn't hate.
I mean,
the
people
NWO.
Like the NWO.
You love the NWO.
Yeah. Oh, I hated the NWO because I was in a little goody two shoes and I thought they were the bad guys.
Which they were set up to be.
Yeah,
yeah, it's been kind of just funny. And also saw a lot of news sites that decided not to call him out as racist. The tweets and all that. To which the Daily Show put up a nice little randomizer to create a bunch of slightly calling it racist news headlines you could do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hilarious stuff. I'm gonna look it up real quick.
We'll just
for the record, CNN actually, when that story first said, no, this was definitely pretty xenophobic.
They were one of the few, though. Then they brought on Richard Spencer
because
to talk about it.
Of course, they fucking did. That guy hasn't been relevant since 2017.
No, he doesn't even have the douche hair.
No.
Okay, it's TDSTrumpRacistHeadline.com. Okay, the first one comes up, Trump browses catalog of racially ambiguous whoopsie. Trump enters warm bath of racially dotted flubadub. Trump enters warm bath of racially bespoke stumble. Trump explores inner workings of racially impressive slip up.
Okay.
Trump unfolds roadmap of racially plated appetizer.
Oh my God. Well, the difference here, the parallels between Trump and Hitler, is that Hitler probably was actually smart.
Hitler was smart. And Hitler was
competent. He had a roadmap for the whole thing.
And he had a certain charm to him that Trump does not have.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, Hitler was a horrible person. There's no doubt about that.
Sure.
But he was competent. That's the one thing Trump isn't.
I mean, yeah, unfortunately.
Sadly, he was. It was horrible.
Yeah.
You know?
But yeah, it all started with, you know, lots of shitting on Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that shit had been going on in Germany for about a century.
Yeah,
yeah, but
it intensified post World War One. So
in the early 30s, like when Hitler came into power, like, you know, making sure to divide people up on the immigrants that they had, rounding them up, and kept them around till the point where they said, "All right, let's start taking them out."
Mm. Yeah, and for the record, and this is probably going to be a random factoid on a future show. Speaking of the Nazis, and you were talking about like how anti-Semitism and stuff was rising. People have often wondered, like, is there a legal precedent for someone actually getting in serious, like you got executed trouble for hate speech?
Mm-hmm.
There is. Of the, what was it, like the 13 individuals of like the 21 people who were convicted at the Nuremberg trials.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was Julius Streicher, the guy who published Der Stürmer.
Mm-hmm.
Never pulled a gun on anybody, never actually took part in any of the actual, like, physical genocide campaigns, but for 25 years he basically published some of the most insanely anti-Semitic media as part of the Nazi Party, and because of that, he was hanged. Mm. So, but that, yeah, that is for another day, though. So... Mm. So, with that, we can now move on to our hero of the week, who actually probably had one of the three candidates we had for asshole of the week as his target here. Jon Stewart basically went on Fox News and tore into Rand Paul for blocking the 9/11 Victims Fund bill. Well, the first responders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... It basically had unanimous consent up to that point.
Yeah.
More or less. Mm. And then Rand Paul and one other guy whose name I can't remember decided to stop the whole thing in its tracks by raising an objection because he thought there were going to be budget issues and that they needed to make cuts in other places before they could put this into effect.
Yeah, they can make cuts in his own fucking salary.
Yeah, for the record, Rand Paul is an opportunist. He never worries about shit like this when it's like...
You would think getting beat up by his neighbor would make him a little bit leery to do this sort of bullshit.
No, it's just made him worse. Yeah. And basically, Jon Stewart and one of his first responder friends were basically just like... Look, this guy is subhuman. He is a person who has no heart. He doesn't care about anyone but himself, and he is perfectly willing to do something like this just to make a statement.
Yeah, they got some quotes here. It says, it's absolutely outrageous, and you'll pardon me if I'm not impressed in any way by Rand Paul's fiscal responsibility virtue signaling. Rand Paul presented tissue paper avoidance of the $1.5 trillion tax cut that added hundreds of billions of dollars to our deficit. Now he stands up at the last minute after 15 years of blood, sweat, and tears from the 9/11 community. Say that's all over now. Now we're going to balance the budget on the backs of the 9/11 first responder communities. Yeah, that was like the whole point of Rand Paul's thing was like, well, we got to think about the budget now. And it's like, wow, you could have stopped the tax bill, a bunch of other stuff that happens, things that are basically just enriching the rich people and making everybody else suffer. And now you care about the deficit. And it has to be at this time that you have to do it. Twitch even tweeted out, like, I didn't block it. I just want to keep table it for, you know, further discussion kind of thing.
No, that's blocking it. Yeah.
Because he basically wants to fund this off of the cuts of other programs. You know, probably like Social Security and other stuff like that.
Because he had no problem giving that gigantic tax cut that was basically a billion-dollar gift to the wealthy in this country. So,
you spent a lot of money on military. You could cut back on some of that.
Oh, no, we can't do that. Then we'll be weak. Then the Chinese will take us over.
Got
news for you. They already did.
Right?
I was like, too late.
Without having to go to war.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah, you got a huge credit bill to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is great. I don't know if anybody's put up a mirror of this, because every time I see it, it's like, oh, it's Fox News YouTube channel. Like, I'm not going to watch this video.
I'm not going there.
I don't want YouTube knowing I looked at this.
Yeah.
I don't want anybody getting the wrong idea.
They already think I'm weird enough as it is.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, so now it's time to start the proper show proper, and sadly we have to start with the news that basically wrecked the anime community this week. Some 40-something lunatic poured a bunch of gasoline in and around Kyoto Animation's primary studio and set it ablaze and injured dozens and killed 33 people.
Yep.
I just don't have enough words for the why, and it's just
this
horrible.
Is literally the largest instance of mass murder in Japan's modern history. It surpasses the sarin gas attacks in the 90s.
It's Japan's deadliest fire in nearly two decades.
Yep.
Which is one building is their deadliest in 20 years.
Mm-hmm. As for the dude's reasons, he claims, even though he, according to the people that were attending to his burns, he wasn't really making a whole lot of sense. It was mostly him babbling weirdly about this and that, but he did mention a few times that he believed they had plagiarized him. Exactly what and where, nobody knows, but dude was obviously mentally disturbed.
Well, I don't know how you couldn't be mentally disturbed and kill that many people.
Hmm. Yeah. That's also, this is like an incredibly tragic incident. It happened. Mm-hmm. And this kind of thing happens in the U.S. every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except they usually use guns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not like downplaying it or anything like that. I just want to put some context to the fact that, when this happens in Japan, it's really big news.
Yeah.
Because...
And it's usually very rare, too.
Yeah, this is not the sort of thing that happens. If this guy would have been in the U.S., it just would have gotten lost in the shuffle, basically.
I mean, it would probably have been just a headline on the ticker, you know, at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
Be at the front of your local news.
Hmm.
Yeah. Obviously, the anime community has been absolutely just devastated by this.
Yeah.
So if you're curious, like, what stuff Kyoto Animation does, like, what their most famous works are, well, Full Metal Panic, they did that. I think they've actually been around since the early 2000s, so they've been sort of a fairly recent one. They've also done Lucky Star, Clannad, K-On, let's see, Free? You guys remember Free, right? Which is that swimming anime with, like, all the dudes in Speedos.
Don't believe I've seen that one.
No.
Are you serious? That one's huge. a few years ago. It's basically just something for women to jill off to. That's pretty much its whole purpose. Miss Kobayashi's Dragon Maid. Now that's one I know you've heard of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's them. Violet Evergarden. Their current, what was supposed to be their current project is 20 Senki Deki Mokuroku, and unfortunately that one has been, you know, more or less pushed back for an indefinite amount of time. They also were working on a free film that was supposed to be a continuation of the free series. Unfortunately, that's also been pushed back. And of course, as far as like OVAs, they did a bunch of those too. So yeah, the other thing is, oh yeah, did I mention they also worked on the Haruchi Suzumiya series as well?
No, I didn't mention that.
They did that too. Mm. The thing is, they were also, as far as like anime studios are concerned, they were one of the better ones to work at because their working conditions were actually better than a lot of the others were.
Yeah.
You know, they provided a lot of, you know, they paid better. They tended to provide more free time for their employees, you know. They got good bonuses and stuff. And then this asshole comes around and just decides to burn it all to the ground. Mm. And I want to, like I said, I want to keep in mind, this was their main building. So on top of the 33 people who lost their lives, there's all of their like original papers, the scripts, the animation cells.
Basically put all out of business.
I wouldn't so much say that. I mean, these guys made, you know, these guys had some of the most popular anime of the last few years, so they've probably got the capital to start back up again. Hmm. But it's probably going to be a while.
Yeah.
God damn. Hmm. Yeah, it is. Hmm. So, moving on from there, for those of you who don't know, I believe the Robert Mueller was supposed to have a hearing in the House this week,
but
it actually got moved to next week.
Hmm.
They're still kind of finalizing some details on it.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I kind of saw this coming. Because, let's be honest, when Mueller is concerned, it's never timely.
I think they're once a session that's a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
They bring in some of his deputies as well, and so he's basically like, "All right, we're gonna have to have some more time to prepare."
Yeah. So, are you guys really expecting anything like mind blowing to come out of this? Because I'm honestly not.
I want to expect it.
I want to expect it too, but Mueller tends to be really tight lipped with stuff like this. He only gives as much information as he thinks is relevant.
Mm.
So if you're honestly, if the House is going to get anything out of him, they're going to have to make an effort at asking him the right questions.
Yeah.
Which if AOC is going to be on that panel, then
she will.
She will.
Yeah.
Because her people do their homework.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
I think it's just going to be kind of emphasizing the important parts of the,
and hopefully confirmation as well. Yeah. Like to sort of,
like things that people act like, oh, he didn't really go into detail on certain
here
things.
Here he can just say, no, that's exactly what I meant.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not expecting a whole lot of new stuff, but again, I also don't think that anything that comes out of there, even if it is new, is going to be all that surprising, mm-hmm. given this administration at this point.
Yeah.
So it's like, it just makes me wonder, like, why are they even doing this in public? I mean, is there much point?
The one thing I can think of is they are trying to get more information for a possible impeachment procedure.
Yeah.
And they think maybe he can dot a few I's and cross a few T's to get all of that set away so that their case can be airtight.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, that's the most I can think of. It's possible that they got other things they need to settle as well.
Yeah.
And like we said, his deputies are also going to be there too, so we might end up hearing something amazing from them as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. Next up, get ready to get angry. You guys remember that cop that choked Eric Garner to death, like on camera, in front of God in the state of New York?
With the chokehold, yeah.
Yeah. Even while he was telling them, I can't breathe, I can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's not going to be charged for it. The DOJ basically let him off the hook.
And let me add a little more anger to your day. Some of the cops started protesting, wearing, you know, about the whole thing, wearing T-shirts that say, I can breathe, I can breathe.
Because they're assholes.
Because they can get away with killing you and then mocking your final words.
Hmm. Yeah.
This is just ridiculous. Fuck's sakes, they have you on fucking camera, and that's not enough? Yeah.
2020 cannot get here fast enough.
Yeah. And the worst part is, it's like, I know it's like, not all cops are complete assholes. There are some who are, like, actually doing their job properly and are quite civil.
Yeah.
And, you know, are decent people, and I hang out with them. But it's these assholes that get all the news, you know. You don't hear about the good cops, you only hear about these.
Well, people. Here's the truth. You want to know what the truth is? It's the training.
Hmm.
It's the training. Now, I could, being the evil little socialist here, I could be saying about, you know, like how cops, being that they're basically the security of the bourgeois who protect the property holders and therefore the enemies of the proletariat, blah, blah, blah. The truth of the matter is, it's the training.
Yeah. The
problem is that your average cop these days is basically trained to treat every single situation like it's a life and death one. They're really not taught to, you know, try and de-escalate a situation. You know, they are basically told to put out your best foot forward with all of your bravado to try and put on a show of strength to basically intimidate any person you come in contact with. And that kind of attracts the really, really bad people.
Hmm.
It also is pretty much why what ICE is basically made up of.
Hmm.
You know, these are the assholes who couldn't cut it in military academy, you know.
Yeah.
I'm guessing U.S. and Canadian police training is a little different then. Because,
That's not to say that the Canadian cops haven't done awful shit either.
Yeah.
But I mean, they tend to be much nicer about it and usually tell you sorry after they hit you with the billy club.
And like, nowhere near the extent of this shit.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, also, you know, police in Canada are basically trained to be as polite and nice as they can. Like, that, there's even a song about it.
It's civil service. That's what it's supposed to be. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I
may be a bit biased because my niece is a police officer, so...
Yeah. Know,
I have a...
Is she a Mountie or just regular...
Provincial police so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, she might end up at the RCMP at some point. Who knows?
All right. But, all right. So, next up. Councilwoman from Houston named Amanda Edwards has joined the Democratic race for Senator Cornyn's seat. Now, you're going to have to explain this one, Chris.
It's just we got an interesting new candidate. It's going to be going against John Cornyn in the upcoming elections for his seat. She is... let's see. Yeah, she's just a Houston City Councilwoman.
Mm-hmm.
Very much fighting for, so she's, she's African American, millennial, all that. She wants to just, get to work and, get the job done rather than just speak a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm noticing a trend in a lot of the candidates that are starting to run now.
Yeah, they're women of color, mostly. Mm-hmm. Or they might be immigrants.
Yeah.
You know?
Or ex-military, or part of the LGBTQ community, or all
maybe
the other
a little
stuff
further
the
on the
doesn't.
Left than what a lot of Democrats up to this point have been.
Yeah.
That's also something.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, if there is at least a silver lining to the Trump presidency, it's that it's kind of woken people up to the point that to the way that the Overton window has been so far to the right for so long that people are suddenly rediscovering shit that's been, you know, pretty basic for most other parts of the world for a few decades now.
Yeah, realizing the bar for running for Senate or the House is actually a lot lower than you think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I say that in like a good way.
Yeah.
Because yeah.
People think like, oh, you need all this experience and all that. It's like, no, you just need good ideas, some good people working with you,
yeah.
And, you know, a good message.
Yeah.
So we got that. Next up, we got another, and this is for Mitch McConnell's seat. And yep. God, I hope he loses it this time.
Oh, he's got a hot race on his hands right now.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys noticed, but he's actually the most unpopular person in Congress right now. Mm. Like he's even more detested than Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Which
I'm wondering if this is going to be the thing that finally gets my brother to vote for the first time ever.
an ex-Marine and a current Kentucky farmer by the name of Mike Breuer is running for Senator Mitch McConnell's seat.
Yep.
Now, is he Democrat or is he like GOP primarying?
He's Kentucky Democrat.
All right. I'll take it.
Yeah, he's saying it's time to retire Mitch McConnell.
Yeah.
We have to do it to restore our democracy, and I've been warned about what he's capable of doing, but it doesn't scare me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it says it features a diverse group of Kentuckians holding tiny chalkboards with different slurs and descriptions, such as baby killer, hillbilly, and queer.
Yeah.
He says labels are powerful things. For 35 years, Mitch McConnell has used labels to reinforce old prejudices, divide us, and to maintain his grip on power.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's a Wisconsin native and moved to the Bluegrass State in 2005 after... He and his wife, also retired Marine officer, bought a 75-acre farm in Lincoln County.
Mm-hmm.
So the two have raised grass-fed beef, pasteurized poultry, or pastured poultry, pigs, and sheep on their farm.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I hope I hope he doesn't have any sharecropped land because they will take it from him.
Yeah.
There's
also something else you need to know
there.
About Mitch McConnell. He is one of the most... loathsome kind of politician in that he has no principles.
No.
Because, you know, he's been in Congress for how long now? Like,
too long. Longer than I've been alive, I believe.
Yeah, and he was originally like a moderate Republican. And then, you know, the Reagan era and the quote-unquote new right came in and he happily jumped on board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder why it is that if the president has a limited two terms, why the Senate and House don't?
Yeah, I
know. We've been asking ourselves that question for a while now.
Mm. Yeah.
But,
Yeah, he has been in politics, let me see, since 77. He was judge/executive of Jefferson County.
I was born in 77, so Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. I guess he was also acting United States Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Legislative Affairs in 1975. Gerald Ford.
So, God damn.
Yeah, he's...
time to let this guy go. Just...
Very much it seems like we need, like, not really age restrictions, but something that mm-hmm. encourages people to fucking retire.
Yeah.
Because he is...
we need fucking Logan to run is what we need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, he's shown that, like, as turtles get older, they get nastier.
Yeah.
And he's very much, like, the most powerful person in the federal government, essentially. Because he will block anything that comes up from the House, unless it matches his agenda. It's like, one thing we won't talk about is that the House passed a big bill raising the federal minimum wage to $15.
Yeah. But it won't ever happen because Mitch McConnell's going to sit on it and never let it hatch.
I mean, there's a reason why the – who was it that died a few years ago in the SCOTUS?
Scalia?
Yeah.
Antonin Scalia?
Yeah, or that seat was unfilled for a year plus,
mm-hmm.
I think it was.
Yeah, because he kept blocking candidates.
And he wouldn't let anybody be interviewed for that, that Obama had to put out there.
Mm-hmm.
That was a full, like, 10 months before the election, like, claiming rules that didn't really exist or that, you know, Republicans made fun of when the Democrats tried to make that a point.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden he believed in it
because
it fed his agenda.
But anyway, next up, the UK has debuted what's going to be their new 50-pound note. And the face is going to be none other than Alan Turing.
Good choice.
Who is one of the reasons why we even have a computer.
Yeah.
But because he was gay at a time when that was not okay in the UK, he was arrested and forced to undergo chemical castration until he killed himself.
Yeah. Kind of one of those weird, bittersweet appearances on the money.
Mm-hmm.
Celebration. Like, obviously, things are a lot more progressive these days.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, that's such an awful thing to do to anybody. Yeah. That was only 60 years ago?
Yeah.
Something like that? It's like, that was not long ago.
No, it wasn't. Yeah, and, he was posthumously pardoned.
A few years back. The best you can say about that, I guess.
That's. That's something.
It's like, sorry we did that to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're dead, but okay.
Yeah, we got a NHL story you kind of need to help us with here.
Yeah, this is the Ron Francis to be the GM of Seattle's team that is yet to be officially named. Ron Francis, one of the best centermen to ever play the game, has had some front office work. I believe Carolina already. So this is sort of where his career trajectory was taking him. I don't know if I would say he was the best available general manager, but a large part of that is because Vegas lucked out in having George McPhee just kind of drop in their laps, and that's not what's going on here. This is somebody who's definitely a known quantity, but doesn't have the same front office. Doesn't have the same front office resume. That being said, players who go into front office roles after their playing careers are over certainly can do well, and as we've seen, you know, many times in the past in this league. So. He's certainly inheriting a good situation and as clean of a slate as you can get for a franchise as exists in the league. So he could do really well here. He definitely has a good hockey mind, I should say.
Yeah. If there's enough budget putting behind it, it's good. End up pretty good.
Well, the ownership group was loaded enough to pay the exorbitant expansion costs. So
Whether there's enough left, that's what we'll find out.
I think if there wasn't, they wouldn't have paid the fees.
All right. Alrighty then. So next up from there, Adidas. They got a new marketing campaign starting up, and it's beginning with Grimes, the singer, sharing her fitness routine.
Yeah, so this is a hell of a thing. So I'm just going to read it to tell me when it gets weird.
Okay.
My training is a 360 approach. I first maintain a healthy cellular routine where I maximize the function of my mitochondria with supplements such as NAD+, acetyl L-carnitine, magnesium, etc. This helps promote ATP, and it's incredibly visceral.
Mm-hmm.
From that point, I spend 2 to 4 hours in my deprivation tank. This allows me to astral glide to other dimensions, past, present, and future.
Yep, we're there.
All right, that's the first paragraph.
Wow.
In the afternoons, I do a 1 to 2 hour sword fighting session with my trainer, James Liu. We go over the fundamentals that work the obliques, core stabilizes, and triceps, as well as a few tricks. To wind down from this, I spend 30 to 45 minutes on an inclined hike at roughly 4 to 4.5 miles per hour, arguably the most efficient workout. I then spend 45 minutes stretching before heading into the studio where my mind and body are functioning at peak level, with a neuroplastic goal between 57.5 and 71.5 APAHCs, which is my preferred range for my blood type. I've outfitted my studio with the highest grade of red light. It is pretty much 1,000 SQF IR sauna. Hannah then comes over and we do a screaming session for 20 to 25 minutes while I slow boil the honey tea that maximizes vocal proficiency. And we're going to send it off here. I have also eliminated all blue light from my vision through an experimental surgery that removes the top film of my eyeball and replaces it with an orange ultraflex polymer that my friend and I made in the lab this past winter as a means to cure seasonal depression. I go to bed with a humidifier on.
That last thing is like the least weird thing.
Yeah. Oh my god.
What?
Why?
Okay. Now,
people are like, okay, this is weirder than anything Gwyneth Paltrow's done.
Given what I've just heard, now I have to listen to her music just to find out what the fuck she does.
And she's from Canada, by the way. So
yep. She has at least dated Elon Musk at one point.
Oh, well. Okay.
I don't know if they're still together, but
yeah,
they were for a bit.
Wow.
So this is the start of a new marketing campaign for Adidas.
Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure they're going where they think they're going.
Yeah.
But they're going somewhere. But
someplace is going. Like other dimensions, apparently.
Yep.
And one of the hashtags is Gentrify Mordor.
I'm out.
See ya. I don't know what is on the hashtag. It's a lot of Grimes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Must be something she says.
I guess. Yeah. Good luck, Adidas. If this is your first candidate, if this is where they start, the only way for this marketing to like actually work is to go even weirder.
Is that sustainable?
Well,
Tim and Eric proved you could do that with Old Spice, so... Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you could, I mean, and there's no shortage of very eccentric people in this world. So.
And that's okay. Like 50% of the music industry.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So, anyways.
All right. Okay. Now that we've recovered from that.
Have we?
No, we haven't.
No, we haven't. We haven't, but we still got to move
and
on.
And this isn't even the weirdest thing on the show notes.
Mm. We got more weird stuff.
All right. The director of the Iowa State Department of the Department of Homeland Security was forced to resign this week.
I think it's Human Services.
Oh, DHS. Oh. Yeah, you think
Homeland
the,
Security. It's weird when two agencies have the same initials.
Might want to work on that, American government. Anyway, he was forced to resign this week after sharing emails mentioning Tupac Shakur. This dude who's in his early 60s is apparently really into Tupac, which I'm not hating. I mean, Tupac's great and everything.
Okay, so I think technically he did not get fired over this. I think it was over performance stuff with his department with some issues that happened to come up, but... the news just got weird when it realized that the guy that was the director of this, the Human Services here in Iowa, was a huge Tupac fan. And somebody did a Freedom of Information Act request on him and got all these emails of him talking about Tupac. And very much seems like he was an incredibly nice guy. You know, all his employees loved him. Like, one didn't because they didn't like Tupac for whatever reason, but it's a lot of fun stuff. So here's the email that 66-year-old Jerry Foxhoven sent to his staff the day he was fired. You have already received my email reminding you that this Sunday is Father's Day. I am sure you're already aware this Sunday is also Tupac's birthday. He would be 48 today if he were alive. So, of course, I'll be celebrating both Father's Day and Tupac's birthday. I hope you all enjoy the day as well and take the time to enjoy one of his songs. Hard to believe he has been gone almost 23 years. Here is an inspirational quote by him. Pay no mind to those who talk behind your back. Some it means you are two steps ahead. Oh, and by the way, on his birthday, I will have finished my second full year of serving as your director. These 2 years have flown by, and it has been an absolute honor to lead such a dedicated and committed group of people. Thanks for all of you, for all you do. Like a big picture of Tupac in it. It's like, all right. And you look at it, like, this is not the sort of guy you would expect to ever be, like, a huge Tupac fan.
No. I could hang out with this guy.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this guy, like, is going through the emails, like, tweeting about what he's finding. People seem to enjoy his Tupac quotes. One person responded, "Hello, Jerry. I'm Kathy, a psychologist on staff. Thank you for the inspiration quote from Tupac. Jerry seems to be an attentive, kind manager and engaged with his thousands of staff at the Iowa Department of Human Services. Thanks, and thanks for all you do for us and for the people we serve." He wrote in response to that psychologist. And let's see. There's a woman named Yvonne wrote back, "Great to be on a team of people who care." And she responds in Comic Sans with another quote from him. "We don't need no more rappers. We don't need no more basketball players, no more football players. We need more thinkers. We need more scientists. We need more managers. We need more mathematicians. We need more teachers. We need more people who care. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We need more women, mothers, fathers. We need more of that. We don't need any more entertainers." Let's see. "Oh my gosh, I absolutely love it. Maria wrote back, Jerry, thanks for sharing that." Smiley face writes Lynn. Jerry then schools Lynn on Tupac versus Tupac, as far as like Tupac versus Tupac. And he's like schooling her on that. And like another positive response, "You are such a breath of fresh air, Jerry. Thanks for all you do to lift us up and help us feel better at what we do than we have felt in a long time." Jerry gives career advice to subordinate, quotes changes from Tupac. You know, you can read that. Seems to understand some people don't like it when he quotes Tupac. "I love your Tupac messages that you still send them despite the haters. Makes me appreciate them even more." He responds, I'm going to hang in there on them despite all the naysayers." February, he also celebrated Valentine's Day and also shared some quotes from, let's see, Tupac Shakur, John Lennon, Dr. Seuss, Bono. Yeah, you can read those. And the people on his staff knew he liked Tupac so much, they made for a birthday party, they made him a bunch of Tupac-themed baked goods.
That had Thug Life written on them.
And some pictures of him and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He also has his good Tupac memes. There's a picture of the United States. The one state colored dark, states that know how to party, confirmed. That's California. Every other state is light colored. States that may or may not know how to party, based on a 1995 study by Tupac and Dr. Dre. And it's like a lot of stuff like this. And it's like, all right, this dude seems pretty cool. Seems really nice, classy kind of guy. Somebody that everybody loved. Except for like one person. And yeah, he's out of a job. But he also teaches at Drake University.
Mm-hmm.
Ethics and professional responsibility, and guess what he features in his course?
Lots of Tupac.
Yep. Recommends like Tupac quotes and listening to the music and all that sort of stuff. That guy's a real nice thing.
Yeah.
For a terrible thing to get fired.
Yeah.
But it seems like this dude was a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah.
Like a rare kind of person you would see at the top of any sort of political office.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, then.
Like, compare that to Trump.
Yeah.
We don't even know what Trump listens to. Don't want to know.
Well,
he
anyway.
He listens to Fox News.
And not much else.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway. Next, we go to India, who actually has their own space program going. And they have had to delay to, let's see, July 22nd. That's Monday. They've had to delay until Monday the Chandrayaan 2 moon lander.
Yeah, it's they had a technical glitch. Cut off attempt due to technical snag an hour before liftoff. Glitch was reportedly related to a helium pressurization system on the rocket's cryogenic stage. So I decided to play it safe.
Yeah, you kind of want to get that nailed down.
Yeah, this is their first Moonlander they're working on. So they're trying to make it successful.
Yeah. It's going to be another global effort to get to the moon again. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
The least explosions you can have, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. China's on the dark side of the moon, I believe.
Yeah.
But anyway. And then, of course, Elon Musk, shown again. He's unveiled what his next project going to be, which is going to be Neuralink's brain-computer interface.
Yeah, it's a real weird thing.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's... So he has this new company called Neuralink, which is creating this weird bit of like technology that you would be attaching to the brain to give it like a high bandwidth implantable brain computer interface that would allow people to. He says the initial goal is to enable people with quadriplegia to control a computer or a smartphone using just their thoughts. But his vision is much more ambitious than that. Seeks to enable humans to merge with AI, give people superhuman intelligence. I reject that as much more hype than actual plan for the new technology development.
Yeah, I know we shit on Elon a lot on this show, but in this case, I'm going to go. Where do I sign up? Because I want this.
Oh, yeah, it could be like
the Matrix, where you have that plug in the back of your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, eventually this ends up something that you can just put in yourself. And you don't have to, like, you know, get surgery to do it.
Yeah.
But the interface to a computer has been pretty standard since, well, the last 50-plus years. We're starting to do voice to some degree. But I think where we really end up at some point is just being able to control a computer with your thoughts. And that, you know, also brings up the potential of assistants that, you know, are actually smart and can actually figure out what you actually mean and not just.
Yeah, maybe it'll make it easier to get to understand where things are at in Windows 10.
well, we can dream, right? Because that's not going to happen.
Oh boy. Well, all right. Next up, Apple. Apple has decided that it wants to compete with Spotify and some others by funding Apple exclusive podcasts.
We're available.
Yeah. You hear? You listening? We'll sign up.
Well, if it's Apple, they're going to be completely family friendly, and be completely pretentious. So that kind of disqualifies us.
All right.
Well, we'll do that for the first 10 minutes, and then that's where everybody else falls asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not really going anywhere, I don't think. Apple's doing a whole lot of subscription stuff lately, and I'm not sure it's actually working.
All right. Well, it was a nice idea while it lasted.
Mm-hmm.
And now for ideas that are coming back. Toys R Us is returning later this year. It's going to start putting up some new concept stores in both Texas and New Jersey.
Yep.
I hope this means that they're going to become a nationwide thing again, because I miss mine a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, so they are – the parent company right now is True Kids Brands.
Mm-hmm.
As in, like, Toys R Us, the initials of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're teaming up with Beta, as in B8TA, a software-powered retailer, to bring back the Toys R Us stuff. They'll look and feel a bit different from what you remember. It's a store experience that will deliver the hottest toy products and brands, carefully curated, showcased in highly immersive, smaller format spaces. So it seems like more like places where you can actually like play with the toys a little bit before you buy them. Sort of stuff,
freaking
like interactive
KB
exhibits.
Toys had that. I guess if they're trying to eliminate the whole decision paralysis thing, maybe they're onto something there.
Like having everything a kid would want.
Right.
Like all these different products. It's like,
and people don't even want to walk in there.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, oh, here's like 1,000 different toys.
But not the video game that I fucking want.
Right.
And if you do have it, it's $10 more than GameStop, which is crazy.
Yeah, mine had tons of X-Men Destiny for like $35. This is well after it came out. And I could have probably gotten a PSP Go like
really cheap.
7 or 8 years after. No, not cheap, like $200. Mm. It was like 7 or 8 years after it came out.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something to this kind of, you know, more curated experience. I think if you're going to do brick and mortar these days, you can't just do the whole scattershot, like throw everything out there and let people decide, because that's not what people are really used to anymore. I think word of mouth, the recommendations, that kind of thing is what people expect. And if you're going to also do brick and mortar, well, then, yeah, being able to try it before you buy is probably a good idea. You need something that will differentiate you from Amazon. You know?
And being able to have, like, a bit of hands-on with the toys and stuff, and have some, like maybe, like, playground-esque kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're still going to need, like, the barrel with, like, all of the Duracell batteries
even at
the
cashier, though. Even they have, like, a place you can hold, like, birthdays.
Yeah.
Parties at and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the first stores are in Houston, Texas and Paramus, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Opening choices later this year ahead of holiday.
Mm. All right. And now we're at the entertainment portion of the show. First and foremost, Alan Moore, probably the most celebrated comic book writer of all time, has announced that he is retired from the medium after the last issue of The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. Hmm. Which, to be fair, that's pretty much all he'd been working on as far as comic books were concerned for the last, like, 10 years.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think 2 years ago he announced basically once he's done with this particular volume of The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, he was going to be retiring.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically kept that promise.
How old is he now?
I don't know. He looks like a Gandalf enthusiast. He's got a big,
you
huge
say
beard,
that,
long
but the
hair.
Dude's actually like a actually involved in like OTO and shit like that. So
yeah, I don't say that as like mean or anything. Just like he looks like very much like a nerd.
Yeah,
that just lets all of his hair and beard grow out.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe longer than he should, but whatever.
But, so Alan Moore, everybody knows probably the one thing that's most famous is Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
Also did V for Vendetta. He had a very celebrated run on Swamp Thing. Let's see what else. From Hell.
The Killing Joke.
Killing Joke. Whatever happened to I'm trying to remember what it was called. Whatever happened to the Man of Tomorrow? I think that was like the last hurrah for Superman before Crisis on Infinite Earths, and they rebooted it. And he also wrote for The Man Who Has Everything, which is also one of the most celebrated Superman stories.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he wrote the, I think it's called Necromon. It's like a story about a cult of H.P. Lovecraft enthusiasts who kidnap this woman to give over to a fish monster to have sex with.
Yeah, that totally sounds like something he'd write.
Yeah.
He's actually big. Oh, yeah, and then, of course, there's Miracle Man, a.k.a. Marvel Man, which kind of kick-started that whole idea of, like, that's sort of like his first instance of, like, taking superheroes and turning them inside out like that.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of shit. Yeah.
He's 65, by the way, so not that old.
Now he's just going to write novels, which he's published 2 now. So, but anyway. Next up, Taika Waititi will direct the next Thor movie, which means that he's pushing back the Akira movie. And I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not.
Maybe a good thing.
Yeah, I think they're having some issues with Akira.
Yeah.
But they were essentially going to be going into production around the same time. And I'm sure Disney talked to the people at funding Akira and like, hey, we'd like you, which I guess is Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to them and was like, hey, you guys should probably push that back a bit.
Mm.
Because we got this guy going to make us a ton of money.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll help you guys.
Hmm.
But yeah, several sources have said that the studio is keen on keeping Watiti involved for the long term for Akira. But like I said, script development concerns caused Akira to be pushed back to where it was going to be before this.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the dates were too close for when they were going to start production, so...
Mm.
Yeah, they're going to be pushing that back for a bit, which might be good for it.
Yeah.
Let it gestate a little bit more.
I really think that's probably a smart idea. I mean, if there's one film adaptation of an anime that I really don't want them to fuck up, it's Akira.
Yeah.
So... I saw Alita: Battle Angel recently, and that was actually really good. So
yeah,
watch that.
Yeah, I guess the next thing Watiti has coming out later this year is Jojo Rabbit, a Nazi era satire directed for Fox Searchlight.
Mm.
Yeah, it's gonna be out October 18th with Scarlett Johansson in it, alongside Watiti, who portrays a boy's imaginary version of Adolf Hitler.
Mm.
Well, that'll be weird.
That is strange.
Mm. Mm.
Okay, that's weird having a New Zealander be Hitler, imaginary Hitler. Hey, sure, whatever.
Mm. But all right, next up, Rocko's Modern Life. You know, it recently got restarted again, and now there's the new Rocko's Modern Life movie that's coming, and it got a teaser on Netflix. It's going to come out early next month, August 9th.
Yep. It's called, what is it? Rocko's Modern Life Static Cling.
Mm-hmm.
Where Rocko and his pals, Heifer and Filbert, are returning to Earth after 20 years in outer space.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they are kind of coming to terms with what life is like.
Mm-hmm.
Then I come back after 20 years, I guess.
Yeah. This is a little bit weird for me because I don't really have any particular nostalgia for Rocko's Modern Life. So watching this teaser is like, okay, that's interesting.
It was a very weird show.
Yeah.
Mm. Very much like a predecessor to stuff like SpongeBob SquarePants and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Involving some of the same talent, too.
Yes, exactly.
Especially some of them went on to... Ah, crap, I forget what the other Disney show is that they...
Mm-hmm.
Some of the writers went on to do a Disney show with the two kids that are basically doing
Phineas
cool stuff.
Phineas and Ferb are gonna do it all.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That was a great show, too. Very much some of those same writers as well.
Yeah.
Like, people don't know what a wallaby is. That's, like, one of the key things. So, like, you see, watch the teaser, and, like, this person interviews them. It's like... you're like a badger or whatever, right? It's like, no, I'm a wallaby. A lot of stuff like that. I guess there's a new iPhone called the O-Phone. Mm-hmm. It's O-Town is there.
Mm.
The city he lives in.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of weird stuff.
Which is basically owned by a conglomerate. And, it's actually a shockingly good, criticism on capitalism, if you pay attention to that show.
Yeah.
He
comes back, realizes he has a huge following.
Mm-hmm.
Says he just wanted his show back. And it's like, alright, well, shit's gonna get weird now.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. And next up, as far as trailers are concerned, we've also got our first look at Netflix's The Witcher.
And shockingly, it doesn't look bad.
Yeah. No, it actually looks good. Except for some of the CGI. That can be changed in post.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I still don't think we have a date for this yet.
When it's done, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's sometime later this year.
Yeah. It's on the CD Projekt Red schedule.
Yeah, looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Be prepared for plenty of skin, because this is The Witcher we're talking about.
Yep.
Yeah,
The stuffed unicorn will probably make an appearance.
Yes, it will.
Hmm.
Yeah, seeing like pictures of like they're showing pictures of different characters.
Mm-hmm.
They show a picture of Roach. It's like it was like, yeah, that's a horse.
Yeah.
They got it.
Well, remember, Roach isn't really one particular horse. It's just whatever horse Geralt has on at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which people want there to be a random bit where the horse appears on a house or something like that.
We
also got a trailer for the Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Yeah. I gotta see this.
Yeah, I like the premise of it, which it's still in the same universe.
Mm-hmm.
They've decided to reboot the whatever the comic book movie that they mm-hmm. made in the last Jay and Silent Bob movie,
Blunt Man and Chronic.
Yeah.
And so Jay and Silent Bob decide to go back and try and stop it again.
Same plot as the original movie?
Yeah, but now it's. Like, that was made before the MCU boom.
Yeah.
And so now they get to make it with all the that sort of stuff. And there's a lot of good bits here where they're at, like, their fake stoner Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Or James Bay's like, yeah, this movie sucks. All that sort of stuff. And it's seems like it could be pretty good. Mm. Jay finds out he's a dad.
Oh, boy, does he ever.
Yeah.
Genuinely looking forward to this.
Life advice from Method Man and Red Man. And there's also a good bit where he tries to tuck his penis back to suggest he's transgender, I guess. Mm. I don't know what that whole bit is, but play off of the penis.
Yes.
Yeah. Be careful how I say that.
Mm.
That's out October 15th.
Yep.
They're also doing like a road show. Where you can buy tickets to these events and get to watch the movie alongside Kevin and Jay,
mm-hmm.
Jason. And they'll do Q&A afterwards and all that sort of stuff.
Mm.
First stop is in Chicago, Teresa. October 22nd, or 21st.
I could probably be there if I'm not working.
Yeah,
maybe. Not sure what tickets are cost. Mm. I wonder what that is.
Yeah.
Also, Ben Affleck is back.
Yep.
Yeah. They brought back, like, everybody from those movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they discontinued the Volkswagen Beetle, so... You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, just because they discontinued it doesn't mean they're not still out there.
Yeah.
People still fucking in them.
Yeah.
All right. And next up, we also got a trailer for the long-awaited Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
It's weirdly a movie that doesn't... The trailer doesn't have much in it.
No.
It's like... Shouldn't you be like an admiral by now? He's like, maybe.
It's like,
he's flying planes, and it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's like basically a trailer saying that Maverick is just a deadbeat. That's basically what this says.
Basically, he hasn't had any character growth at all.
No.
Yeah. So it's even like that whole motorcycle chasing the plane scene in there too. It's like, oh god damn it! I have no interest in this whatsoever.
Yeah,
plus Tom Cruise is in it, so that's an automatic nope.
Yeah. I guess they must just be like trying to keep some secrets or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's also like, this isn't the most... It doesn't tell me, as somebody who never watched the original, like, why I should care about this.
Well, you shouldn't.
It's like, oh, man in a plane.
I did watch the original, and you still shouldn't care.
He has some cool, like, stunts and such.
Yeah.
But I imagine he's not actually flying these planes.
Mm-hmm.
It was still a dumb movie.
Yeah.
I mean, the original Top Gun is... A lot of people really, really like it. But there's that whole... The whole premise of the movie, like these hotshot pilots and stuff, like, would have never gotten in to begin with. So,
yeah.
It's just...
Like, the only thing I know about is the volleyball scene.
Yeah.
It seems like just like a movie for people that love the military, especially the Air Force.
Yeah, it was the early 80s. Right? It was the Reagan era. Yeah. It was very much of its time.
The highlight of this is seeing that Ed Harris is still alive. It's like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
He certainly is.
He fits that role pretty well. Yeah. Just like, why the fuck are you still here doing this?
That's
out next year.
Sometime, yeah. Summer 2020.
Yeah.
Don't care. All
right. And finally, last story of the night. We got a trailer for the movie adaptation of the long-running musical from Andrew Lloyd Webber and T.S. Eliot, Cats. Oh, God.
What the fuck did I watch? I'm fairly certain.
It's called High Octane Nightmare Fuel?
Yeah, I'm fairly certain I did not take any drugs.
It's basically what you see on the stage, but now they have, like, digital effects added to it.
Uh-huh.
Like, they're digitally, like...
They're digital cast.
There's no suits anymore. It's just they're furry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just real weird.
This is just...
Like, the Taylor Swift one...
Yeah, no.
Makes me feel things that confuse me.
It's like, are you a furry now?
I just...
This is a furry musical. I don't... It's like, how do the proportions work? Why do some cats have clothes on, others don't?
Oh, that's from the musical.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's just...
All I know about cats is the bit in Kimmy Schmidt season 4.
Mm-hmm.
Where Titus decides to put on the cat outfit and go on stage. That's finds out the secret is, like, there's no actual lines or anything. People just randomly show up, and they just do random singing, and nothing makes sense, and that's why. Because there's no rhyme or reason for anything that's going on.
I mean, that's pretty much it. Cats really has very little actual plot.
Yeah, it's like, okay, it's out, I guess, Christmas, and it's Nightmare Fuel.
Yeah, it's basically like, trying to do the Les Mis thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, why did you do this to Ian McKellen?
Yeah, I think this is like the same people that made the Les Mis movie.
I think so.
I think most of us are horrified by this, and everyone else has some soul searching to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, why? I know why, but why are these cats like have like female male body proportions?
Again, the musical.
Yeah, but it's like
the costumes.
They're trying to present this as these are like actual cats.
Please, see, this isn't even the weirdest musical that came out from the 80s. You guys ever heard of something called Starlight Express?
Oh, God, yes.
Have you seen it?
No. I remember its reputation.
It's basically, you thought the thing about cats was weird? Starlight Express is about a bunch of toy trains, like having a race and singing and shit. It's weird. And I think it was also an Andrew Lloyd Webber production.
He did some very strange things back in the day.
LSD? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, because, like, Andrew Lloyd Webber, yeah, he got us, like, Jesus Christ Superstar. He got us Phantom of the Opera. He also got us shit like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got up with, you know, him and Tim Rice, you know.
Yeah. And let's not, like, you know, like, let's not kid ourselves here. It's going to make all of the money.
Oh, it will. That there's a reason why Cats was like the longest running, like next to Les Mis as far as like theatrical production is concerned, because it made boatloads of cash.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is actually gonna. I don't know if this is gonna be good for the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. It's like, well, it's got to be better than this. As far as the CG, because they're redoing it, it's like, okay, this is your board, this is like your bar.
Mm-hmm.
If you get better than this, people won't be that mad about it.
I love that your brain went there.
Because I'm looking at the hashtag cats movie, and there's pictures of Sonic the Hedgehog. There's also Mike Myers' Cat the Hat.
Oh God!
Because people are like, okay, so how does James Corden in the Cats movie compared to Mike Myers as the Cat in the Hat? It's like, they're not that different.
Mm.
Mike Myers might win this one.
Yeah.
And yeah, they're... Jesus Christ. I need to stop looking at this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's a hole and it's pretty deep. If you want to go down this hole.
Yeah.
No thanks. I like.
Yeah, you want to stop right where you are. Just step away from the computer.
Oh God.
Here, there be dragons.
And things far, far scarier. Anyway, so I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks.
This does confirm why I'm a dog person.
Yeah. And we're going to end it on that note. So I'd like to remind all of our listeners, if you've got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in touch with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got it linked for you in the show notes. Also, On top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little piece of unscripted shenanigans at Google Play, RSS, archive.org, pretty much any podcast aggregator or place where you can download shit like this, where we act absolutely horrified at the latest abominations coming out of Hollywood.
Justifiably.
Yes.
I mean, the names attached to this thing are great, and they're... Oh, God.
Yeah. But with that, I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Philippa Pinolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Samus, and Chris Elogi, good light.
You weren't supposed to stare directly into it, Chris.